Hello and welcome to More or Less on the BBC World Service. We are your friendly guide to the numbers that explain our lives. And I'm Tim Harford.
Yeah, spot fires galore down here. We're talking about 60, 70 metre flame height. 60, 70 metre flame height.
World news has been dominated by the bushfires occurring across Australia. Although bushfires are nothing new to a place sometimes known as the Fire Continent, these fires are unprecedented. The season has started much earlier, and record temperatures in recent weeks have caused the fires to spread to areas that usually wouldn't be affected. And one statistic that has grabbed the headlines is about the number of animals that have died.
Just careful with his claws.
Nearly 500 million animals feared dead in Australia.
As the fire spread, those figures rose.
Bushfires have now killed more than a billion Australian animals, more than double what experts first feared.
Shocking numbers, but are they accurate? Many of you have written in to ask us, and we will do our best to answer. The figure comes from ecologist Professor Chris Dickman of the University of Sydney. In 2007, he was asked by WWF Australia to conduct an impact report on bush clearing in New South Wales, specifically how it would affect the animals who lived in the area. The researchers used various population density surveys to estimate the number of mammals, birds and reptiles in the area and estimated that per hectare, that's 100 metres by 100 metres, there were about 18 mammals, 21 birds and 130 reptiles. As the fires started burning this season, they went back to that work and scaled up those findings by the area of bush burned in New South Wales to reach the 480 million figure initially reported. As land has continued to burn, they've doubled the number. They estimate that a billion animals have died in the fires in New South Wales alone. I spoke to Professor Kate Parr from the University of Liverpool about how much we can rely on these figures.
Yeah, so it's always tricky when you're dealing with estimates. Where did the data come from for the original study?
Yeah, who went out and counted the frogs? And yeah.
So, I mean, it's not to knock the original study because these kinds of things are really important. We do need some kind of idea, but we have to recognise that this is kind of a bit of a back of the envelope calculation. So they would have extracted data from published studies probably and data that other scientists might have. But you don't know that for all species. We don't know everything about every species. So there would have been a whole suite of species. They had no idea for density. So they would have to estimate that from the known densities of, say, closely related species, for instance. And so that kind of introduces more error. And then I think for the reptiles for this study, they only had estimates from one particular area even, and they didn't have it for different species. It was just all species combined. So that was a bit of an issue as well, I suppose. But these are the kinds of issues we always have to deal with these kinds of estimates.
And if there's particular uncertainty about reptiles, that matters because 3/4 of the animals in question are reptiles, assuming the estimates are correct. Another issue is that just because there are 170 animals in a hectare of bush doesn't mean that 170 animals will die if that hectare burns. Professor Parr again.
Animals are pretty clever. These animals in Australia are adapted to fire. They've evolved with fire because fire is such an essential and important part of the environment. And so because it happens relatively frequently, particularly in the savannas of Australia, yeah, these animals are used to fire. So they kind of know what to do when there's a fire. And so they tend to seek refuge or move out of the area. So although occasionally some do die, most of them will try to avoid the fire.
And then what? Because presumably then the habitat's been destroyed. Can they nevertheless come back and eke out a living until the plants go back? Or is there a problem?
It depends. So immediately after the fire, some of these animals are really clever. They've developed mechanisms that enable them not only to cope with that initial fire coming through, but then they could stay in their burrows for up to 3 weeks and they go into a state called torpor, which is basically inactivity. It's kind of this mini hibernation and they reduce their activity and lower their body temperature. And they can stay in a state like that for up to 3 weeks. And then they can come out afterwards and things have usually calmed down a bit by then, and some of the insects, for instance, might have started coming back, and so those animals then might have a food resource. So some of those animals can do that. Some of the animals that are left that haven't moved out into unburnt areas, because if animals move, they tend to move to areas that haven't burnt. If the fires are extremely large and these animals are left in these very large burnt areas, then they might have trouble because there might be less cover, so they're not protected from predators. There's a change in the temperature. It could be very hot because they're much more exposed. And there's changes in the food availability. So if they're herbivores, perhaps there's no leaves now or grass for them to eat, perhaps no fruit. And perhaps if they're particularly insectivores, some of the insects have gone too. So they definitely can be affected. But saying that, these animals still have kind of coping mechanisms. So for instance, in terms of the temperature, there's a little thing called a brown antechinus, which is a carnivorous marsupial. And they're pretty clever because they say, okay, right, it's going to be too hot now during the day, or I'm going to be too exposed to the predators. So they change now to becoming more active at night.
Right. So there are ways to adjust. But I mean, these were very big fires by historical standards. I mean, is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not getting the wrong end of the stick from sensational media
absolutely.
Reporting. These are huge fires.
These are unprecedented fires. So while I say that these animals are very well adapted to fire, the sheer scale and the intensity of these fires combined with this extreme weather conditions that were happening at the time just means that they are unprecedented. We haven't seen anything like this. And so this is a major event for these animals.
Do we have any precedents that give us a sense of when there is a fire, how many animals would be killed by it versus how many animals would burrow or would run away, would come back and would then cope?
Yeah, so it's really hard to get those estimates. I mean, people who work in these areas, and I've worked in places in northern Australia and in Africa too, and we've been involved in lighting management fires. You very, very rarely see animals that are killed in fires. I should add here, mostly talking about the vertebrates, not the invertebrates. So you very, very rarely see it. Even in Australia, when they had the Black Saturday fires of 2009 in Victoria.
That killed hundreds of people, right?
It killed like 173 people. And people were very worried about the wildlife too. But there was surprising resilience of the wildlife. So there were some studies done by a group looking at the mountain brush-tailed possums, for example, and they thought that they would be badly affected. But actually, they were really quite resilient. Their populations didn't, you know, drop precipitously after the fire. They did okay.
Professor Kate Parr of the University of Liverpool. She added that where an animal species is already under strain, the fires could pose a real threat of extinction. Whereas when a species is generally doing fine, it will tend to bounce back. We also got in touch with Professor Chris Dickman, who conducted the original research. As you can imagine, he's rather busy. And we asked him how many of the animals in the affected areas would die, and how many would, as Kate Parr argues, simply hide or run and then return. He told us this. While it is true that in many or even most fires, many animals will escape, the current fires are unprecedented in intensity, speed and scale. A few animals may escape, but the consensus among those who've witnessed these fires is that escapees will be few and far between. Now, there is no doubt that animals in the affected areas of Australia are facing a challenge like never before. The government is talking about culling feral camels and horses, which are doing damage in Aboriginal communities while trying to find water. And we may never know the truth. Australia hasn't seen fires of this scale before, and without a recent census to refer to, we will struggle to know how many animals have died. And that is all we have time for on More or Less this week. Please write to us at moreorless@bbc.co.uk. Goodbye.